You're listening to the Bird Dog Babe podcast with my mom, Courtney Bastian.
Finding a way to balance family time and business and still be successful and still be the people that we want to be, which is easy to get a hold of, easy to communicate with, timely about responding to clients and potential clients. And it's the balancing act, and we haven't perfected it for sure, because it is one of those things where you're like, when do you say enough is enough? Is it 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night? What if it's an emergency and I had my phone off? You know, I just always have those situations where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't just pull the plug and disconnect. So time management / finding a way to have more hours in the day and being able to get it all done and not have to sacrifice for the business and not have to sacrifice my family time.
Hey, Bird Dog Babes. My name is Courtney Bastian, and I am obsessed with all things bird dogs. And I'm here with you to share the stories, experiences, knowledge, and opinions from the women and a few guys in the industry that are killing it. I'm a Wisconsin girl living in a Montana world. I'm mom and two incredible kiddos, wife and occasional assistant to a pro gun dog trainer, traveling the U.S. talking about canine nutrition while hunting, breeding, and competing with my German wire hair pointers and Bronco Italianos. As someone who started hunting later in life because I wanted to give my dogs the opportunity to do what they were bred to do, I'm here to help inspire, educate, and connect women to get their bird dogs out in the field and experience a bond like no other. So pour yourself a glass of wine and get ready to be challenged and encouraged while you learn. This is the Bird Dog Babe Podcast. A big shout out to the people and partners that are helping me keep the MP3s rolling for this podcast. My Patreon patrons, the bread and butter, the peeps, the community of like-minded individuals that are eager to learn and offer to contribute. Join us for $5 per month on patreon.com/ The Bird Dog Babe for exclusive discounts, content, and live Q&A sessions. Dakota 283 Unparalleled Protection Rotomold Kennels. My favorite is the G3. It has a molded in, easy to grab handle on top that makes it easy for me to lift in and out of my truck. The keyed paddle latching door makes me feel at ease on trips when I run into the gas station or a restaurant for a bite to eat and I'm not able to bring the dogs in with me. Go to Dakota283.com and use promo code BIRDDOGBABE for 10% off. And by Siren, shotguns for women. Siren carries the only full line of women's shotguns. They are dedicated to providing the equipment and knowledge that make shooting and hunting more enjoyable and less stressful. Newer seasoned hunter, Siren offers multiple options that fit right out of the box. No more compromises. Go to SirenUSA.com and check out all the options available for upland, waterfowl, sporting, and trap shotguns. And while you're there, say hello to Julia, Siren's new 12-gauge sporting that is one of the most stunning shotguns I've laid my eyes on. Also by Big Frig, roto-molded coolers with heavy-duty latches, dual stainless steel lock plates that double as bottle openers. They also have dry boxes, tumblers, and growlers. And my favorite, the ability to customize the tumblers and coolers. Head to thebirddogbabe.com/bigfrig to view the wide array of sizes and colors available. There's a Badlands cooler perfect for your way of life. You are in for a treat with this episode. With Valentine's Day coming up, I wanted to do something special and different. Because let's face it, a relationship, dogs, hunting, training and testing, breeding, business, and kids, that's a lot of things. Having a partner that not only shares the same passion as you, where you complement each other's strengths and weaknesses, isn't an easy find. So when you do, cherish it. This is part one of a two-part series. In this episode, I'm joined with Megan Marzoff of Marzoff X Kennel, Jenny Martinson of Martinson's Red Point Kennel, and Kat Pivot of Standing Stone Kennels. Next week, the guys take over this podcast to share their version. these young, driven families with some of the best bird dogs and top training businesses in the country inspire me and help me feel like my crazy world of chaos isn't so crazy. It's a blessing. All right, let's get after it.
All right, so we're rolling. Welcome, ladies, to the podcast. I'm really stoked to have you on this special night. I don't normally get to record in the evening, so this is exciting because I'm not drinking coffee. I'm able to have some wine, and I think it was a prerequisite to the meeting tonight that we all took off our bras and had a little chance to relax.
Heck yeah. Our kind of party.
I want each of you to introduce yourselves. Tell me what your business name is, kennel name, and what you have in your life as far as partner and children.
All right. My name is Megan Marzoff. I am a co-owner of Marzoff X Kennels with my husband, Jason Marzoff. We have a 14-year-old daughter, Rihanna, a 6-year-old, soon-to-be 7-year-old girl, Melody, and a 2, almost 3-year-old son, Stetson. We raise, train, and breed German short hair pointers. I guess we train all breeds, but that is our specialty.
My name is Jenny Martinson, and I am the co-owner, I guess. That was nice, Megan. I was just going to say owner, but I guess, yeah, with my husband.
Thought I would Tate, include him.
With my husband, Tate Martinson. We have a son named Gavin, who will soon be 3. And I am 22 weeks pregnant with a little baby girl that'll be on the way. We breed Vizslas, train everything, and still trying to figure it all out.
I'm Kat Pippett, and my husband is Ethan Pippett. We own together, I like that, the co-own thing, Standing Stone Kennels. And then we have a son, Aiden, who's just over 2 years old. And we are also expecting a second little boy on the way. He'll be due in May. So I think that makes me 25 weeks pregnant. So Jenny and I are about at the same point in our pregnancies. And then we breed German short hair pointers. We train all breeds as well for both hunting and obedience training. And then we have a pretty big YouTube channel that we try and put out a lot of training demo videos and some hunting videos to help people that are trying to do it at home.
The world we live in is kind of unique in that we have the training business, the dog breeding as a complement or as a piece of that business, I suppose. And we have families. And I think some of us do have other jobs in part to that. So there's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle that are moving around. And I don't know about you, but how often do you get asked, how in the world do you guys do it all?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
It's quite often. It's all the time. I think it's organization, though. I don't know. I won't speak for those two, but things have to be organized and planned and scheduled because Jason could be on a Zoom call and I could be taking in a dog or sending home a dog. It's a lot of scheduling. And then you throw kids in there and their schedule. There's a lot of balls moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree with Megan, like keeping things very well scheduled. I mean, we learned early on, Tate and I, if we were ever going to not kill each other, it was to have a calendar and to have crap in that calendar. And I always say, like, our motto is we invite chaos and we thrive off of it. And that's how we make do.
Yeah. You thrive on the busy.
Yeah.
I would agree with both of you ladies. Organizationing is a key. I mean, if you can't stay organized and you can't have a schedule with open communication with your partner, you're going to struggle. And we do. We have a shared Google calendar that's color-coded because I'm very... I don't know if you want to say OCD, but probably OCD. So color coded. And then we are lucky enough to have a really great support team. We have multiple employees that are able to help us take care of some training and cleaning and taking care of the well-being of the dogs, as well as we have an online store. So we have to have some help with that because it just kept growing and getting to the point where we couldn't do it all. I mean, there weren't enough hours in the day. And so I had to be okay letting go of some of that control, still being organized, but letting go and delegating and finding good people and good help that we could trust to take on some of those responsibilities. Otherwise, we would not have maintained our sanity.
Right. Are you finding that both of you in the relationship are organized?
Jason is now. It took a couple of years of some, not going to lie, there was, did you keep that receipt? Do you have those mileage? Oh, no, I don't know. It's like, you're going to pull your hair out. But, you know, trial and error, you can get it. He's not
out. You got him trained. You got him trained, right, Megan?
I have him trained now.
Let me tell you, the receipts, Megan, he did keep them. They're crumpled in a pile in the console of the vehicle. That's where they are in case you can't find
them. With a wet cup on top of them so it all smeared, too.
Mm-hmm. Coffee stain.
I kind of feel bad because I kind of do that with the receipts sometimes, I think. But
Jenny's the reverse role here. You know?
I'm kind of bad about receipts, but I will say yes. I mean, Tate wasn't. He's probably not as organized as I would like, but I'm an OCD freak about staying organized. But what is helpful with us is that I have Bridget, who also keeps his butt organized for me. So while I'm at work, you know, but it just always makes me laugh because I can remember like 50 things in a day. And for whatever reason, the men can't seem to remember as much. So shut the door and get out of my time now. He's peeking in already. See? Jeez. Men.
I would definitely say Ethan is pretty organized, and it did take some training to get there, Megan. It wasn't just like, oh, he came that way. But definitely we are a lot more organized. I would say if I had to give him a weakness and what he struggled with, it would be time management and priorities, at least priorities that are important to me and the order that they need to be done in.
Are we all nodding to that?
That's amen. Incredible.
Yeah.
Amen.
Jason's right. A busybody. He's always doing something, always piddling. I mean, sometimes it's like, can you just sit down for a minute? But it's priorities. It's like, you know, we should do this before this, but that's also part of the, okay, you have your job, I have my job. And it really helps flow a little easier.
Do you feel like that's also a little bit of us being OCD and just being like, I want it this way. This should be the priority. How is this obviously not the priority right now?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. For sure. Definitely, like Megan was saying, I feel like though we're a team and we have common goals, we are also doing different roles. So sometimes there's things that are on my plate that for me take a priority. And then there's things that he's, you know, responsible for and in charge of. So in his brain, those take priority. And that's where that open communication for us is really important so that we can keep each other on the same page and say, hey, this is what I'm working on today. I'm going to need your help with this, this, and this at some point in time. And he can let me know, well, I'm working on this today. I'm only going to be available to help you with, you know, this one thing today. And then we can kind of work out a game plan.
So are you guys doing that in the morning? Are you like, this is kind of what we need to do today? Or are you kind of working and talking about a schedule week before? And are you guys like planning meals for the week? Like, what's like
how? Meals? Not meals. No. Okay. I would say we get home most nights from picking Aiden up from daycare and go, ah, dang it. It's dinner time. Everything's frozen. Okay. It's grilled cheese sandwiches tonight because there was no planning done as far as meals go. Now planning as far as what needs to get done business-wise, we're a little bit better. But I feel like as much as I would love to have like a week-long schedule or longer really solidified, life gets in the way and things fall to pieces, especially when you're working with live animals and dogs and they don't read a calendar. So they don't always follow directions and know what they're supposed to be doing what day. And so it's more of a, we have a plan the night before what will be happening the next day. We revisit that plan in the morning so that everybody's again still on the same page. And then we move forward with the day. And then we repeat. And maybe we'll have a little bit better idea of going. And we've got, remember, we've got this, this, and this going on this weekend as like, hey, don't let that, you know, fall into the background and get forgotten. But that's the only way that we can roll. There's no week long meal plans and scheduling done at our place.
That will change. That will change with baby number two. Because those grilled peas, you can't make them fast enough, or those kids are screaming, eating all the chips out of the pantry.
We have goldfish. That's our go-to substitute.
We actually have started a year ago. So our first training season was just the last year with doing this. We'll smoke. We'll take one of Jason's 4 days because he's shift work on the fire department. So take one of his 4 days. We'll train all morning. And then we prep probably a month worth of just meat. And we'll put it on the smoker. And then we will slice it up and freezer bag it or whatever, vacuum seal it. So all we have to do in the morning is pull out the meats unthawed. So at least there's something.
You got your protein.
Looking at a pound of hamburger and going, oh, that's frozen. Now what? So it's made the end of the nights, like you're saying, especially if you're training, you know, something what has to be in the evenings, or like you said, picking up kids. You know, obviously the kids are gonna come first with a lot of stuff. So you can feed them. Sometimes you're eating at 9 o'clock at night, unless you have stuff ready to go.
That's true.
What about you, Jenny?
Well, we try and plan, and actually, Tate does zero cooking. He does not cook at all. So when Bridget arrives from Montana, it's a sigh of relief for me because her and I are both like, okay, let's figure out the meals for the day. And we try our best. Not every day is planned out, but for the most part, if she knows I have a busy day at work, especially like right now, the days aren't as long. You know, when spring comes, they get long and they're not around, and then it falls solely on me. But she'll cook for me, and then I come home and supper's ready, which is, I know, amazing. But I do, with two kids, with another kid on the way, I think we've talked about doing more planning, like what Jason and Megan do. Oh, my kid is pissed. So
I wish I could plan ahead that much, Megan. Maybe you just need to send me your meal plan so that I can be a little more organized, because that's one of the things that just gets thrown in the garbage and in the back burner is dinner, right?
I know.
Yeah,
it will change with baby number two. I promise you, I was the same way with Melody. It was just like, PB&J tonight, ramen noodle. I don't know if it's for you guys, but the older I get, it's like the end of the day, it's, I don't want to think. I don't want to use my brain. I just want it to flow.
Amen.
That's true.
Yeah.
So it does, I promise. When those babies come out, when you start adding, it does. I mean, Courtney, you know how it goes with having two closest.
I mean, I don't know. We're like, oh, it's 5 o'clock. What's for dinner? So.
Okay, good. So that's where I'm at.
Maybe.
Yeah, I don't know. I think you got to get into a groove that, you know, that works for you. And I guess that's part it, like, of figuring it all out and being organized. But there are, like you guys have said, like adding those priorities in there for him and I, the priority would be get the kids fed, get the homework done right now, because that Burke's getting homework in first grade. Yeah. And then, you know, read the stories, go to bed. But it's about scheduling, but it's hard to schedule when you have an ever changing calendar, right? And you have clients that are supposed to be here at this time. And like you,
30 minutes
like they don't understand how important that schedule is for you. Like you're supposed to be here at 10 a.m. and then they show up at 9:25 or at
2 o'clock in the afternoon because they got delayed with travels. And though we want to be accommodating because they definitely are driving a long way, we also have a schedule that we have other appointments and other responsibilities, and it's really hard to make that drastic of a change.
Right.
Agreed.
That's the hardest. I agree that I didn't realize I'm always I'm maybe if I'm going to be late 5-10 minutes. Now, back in my early 20s, I was never like that, but now, I mean, it's 5-10 minutes, and that's what I consider rude late. We'll have people show up, you know, an hour. And it's different if weather, because weather plays a part in whether you can train or what you're training in and how long things take. So again, an ever-changing schedule, weather can play a huge part in that as well.
And I just want to say, like, you guys were all on time for this. That is so rare, like, to have a guest on time. But, like, when all of you came on time, like, it was scheduled.
Well, being late is my biggest pet peeve.
Yep.
Right. So what are you finding is your biggest struggle in all the things? In family, work, all of it. What are you finding is your biggest struggle?
Patience. I want to include Melody and Stetson and all the stuff that we do. But I know I've seen both Kat and Jenny with the babies on the back. It is really hard to bend down and load bird after bird after bird. You know, 80 degrees out, hot. You have a kid. They want a snack. They want down. I would say it's really hard to have patience when you're sweating and hot and you want them involved. So you just got to remember patience and, you know, try and enjoy it because it doesn't last forever.
Yeah, I would probably agree with Megan on that. I think for me, what is really, what I struggle with the most is prioritizing family and work. And I think Tate struggles with that a lot too, because I mean, there's such a big push for us all to be extremely successful, right? Like we all want to be super, super successful, and you're not successful without putting in time and hard work, but then where you have to give up time at some point and at somewhere, right? So what takes it in the shorts? And sometimes I feel like our family takes it in the shorts, to be honest with you. And I think that's something that Tate and I struggle with, and we work at it every day. He has a lot more patience about things than I do, but like, I mean, we have business hours for a reason, and it's not to be a pain in your ass that you can't come get your dog. It's because we have a family and we enjoy each other and we want to spend time with each other. So for me, I do lose Megan's seen it firsthand. I've lost my patience with things because I want that time. What about me? What about my time? Gavin's time? What about our family time? So that sometimes is an ever-changing and it's a work in progress for sure.
I would definitely agree with Jenny. It's my and Ethan's biggest struggle is turning work off. Work is attached to us because we have everything on our phones and your phone is right there constantly. You get a notification that it's a customer calling you, texting you at 9 o'clock at night, or a message coming through from Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or email. And it never ends. It's constant. And I have a hard time shutting it off because I know if I don't keep up on those messages and replies that the next day, it's just going to be a mountain of, you know, contacts to get back with. And so finding a way to balance family time and business and still be successful and still be the people that we want to be, which is easy to get a hold of, easy to communicate with, timely about responding to clients and potential clients. And it's the balancing act, and we haven't perfected it for sure, because it is one of those things where you're like, when do you say enough is enough? Is it 6 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock at night? What if it's an emergency and I had my phone off? You know, I just always have those situations where I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't just pull the plug and disconnect. So time management / finding a way to have more hours in the day and being able to get it all done and not have to sacrifice for the business and not have to sacrifice my family time.
Yeah. Amen, Kat. That nailed it for me as well. And I think, you know, I even had put in a little outline to you guys of like, is it even possible? Is it like even possible to separate work from family? Because right, the dogs are 24/7 and you're always there. Every couple hours, you know, you're letting them out and you're training all day. And so, and I know how much all of you treat your client dogs as if they were your own. And So nothing is spared there. And yeah, so I get it. And in this balance of you and your husbands, I mean, what is it that you think that you guys, how you complement each other? What do you have that he doesn't, or he does that you don't? What do you think that your kind of magic of the mesh is?
Jason's finesse. He is so good with his words. He handles the more, like Kat was saying, those more difficult clients that, you know, are very almost wanting to be argumentative, those that aren't really going to be happy no matter what. Jason is wonderful with speaking to them. I am more of, Jason says I'm the hammer. I have no finesse with my words. I say how I'm feeling, how it is. I won't be rude about it, but I'll just say, you know, I won't, I guess as Kat was saying, I won't give it the time. Where that is where Jason and I complement each other. And having two people being able to train dogs are all, they all have different personalities. So having, you know, Jason's personality come in and do something with a dog and it may not be working, and you can stand back and you can watch what's going on and see it from a different perspective and come in and try something different, and it works almost every time. So that balance of being able to have different personalities with one another really shows within dog training. And I know these two girls have seen it as well, working with their husbands.
Yeah, by the way, that's one of the things I love about you most, Megan, is your honesty. So I would say,
so for me,
I kind of play a different role than what you lovely ladies play. So I don't get to do the training side of things as much anymore. I've stepped back from that. I mean, I still really enjoy it. I like to be involved, but I am the puppy raiser, and I sell every single one of our puppies, and I deal with every single puppy owner. So I think what complements me to Tate is I'm an extremely wonderful salesperson, and I can deal with shitheads to the best of them. I can hold my composure pretty well until I don't. But Tate is, he's the bread and butter of our training program. And he's so good at reading dogs that it's something I sit back and I just watch him, and it's really cool. And he's so passionate about it, you know? And so for me, I love to see him enjoying what he does, but I absolutely love raising puppies and making sure that they're successful. And I try my best to make sure our breeding program continues to be successful. So that's what I do. And then I work a full-time job on top of all that as well, and raise my son and soon to be another kid. So hear me roar.
I would say that we kind of have a combination of what Jenny and Megan were talking about. So Ethan is much better at having those hard conversations, like Megan was talking about, with people. Believe it or not, I can be kind of a hothead. And so
no.
Ethan doesn't always let me have those conversations. And I try not let that get the better of me, but I can only be attacked, I guess, if you will, because that's what it comes off as, so long before I lose my composure. And he can maintain his much better. And also, when there's a dog in for training that might be struggling with something, nobody likes to have those conversations where you have to call an owner and say, hey, your dog is struggling with this, or your dog, you know, is now gun shy, they came in that way, but we're struggling to make progress. Those are never easy conversations to have. And I chicken out most of the time and ask Ethan to cover those phone calls for me. So that's a nice aspect of having him as a teammate. And then also, he's exceptionally good at reading dogs. I mean, I can read dogs, I feel, very well as well, but those really tough, tricky situations, he is typically, if you have to have Ethan working with your dog, it's not a good thing. It's usually because they're a problem dog and there's an issue that we're trying to overcome. So Ethan's to the point now that he's like our problem fixer. but he reads those situations really well. And then I have really taken over all of the puppy stuff to Jenny, where I am constantly contacting clients about upcoming litters and giving them updates. Now, Ethan also helps with that. You know, when we take pictures together, we're obviously taking pictures of the litter together. You can't take pictures of puppies yourself. I tell you
that. No, you cannot. No.
So it's still a team effort, even with that. And if Ethan gets a phone call or an email or a message, and they're interested in puppies, you know, he definitely fields that and is great at still, you know, giving all the clients information and then getting deposits and stuff set up. But then when it comes time to get those people on specific litters or telling them that the litter is born, that falls to me to maintain that relationship. And then also, continue to give updates. And then once the puppies go home, I'm kind of the go-to person for issues or, you know, hey, our puppy's struggling with potty training or whatever. I'm usually the go-to person for that. Yeah. Every puppy struggles with potty training because they have like cranberry sized bladders.
I know.
So we complement each other well with that. And then my favorite thing about our relationship is if I can tell that he's losing the last of his patience, or if he can tell that I'm getting to the point where I cannot answer another email about the same question that I've literally given a response to over and over and over, and I'm just like, I can't answer one more of these emails, we switch. He will answer emails for a while and I will, you know, field phone calls for a while, and we'll just flip swap and then be able to regain our composure, our patience. It kind of freshens you up instead of just copying and pasting a, you know, remote answer. We're being able to take that step back, regain our passion, and say, okay, now I'm going to be replying to these people on a more personable level. Mm-hmm. So that's my favorite thing, is that we can just jump into each other's roles when we need to help the other person out.
I love what you said there, Kat, about regaining the passion, because, you know, we all started this for a love of the dogs, which whether or not it came before or after, a love of hunting, right? And when you turn your passion for that into your job as well, I know, I mean, we stepped away from it for a couple of years in general, from the dog training part of it, because it got to be so much where, you know, William was traveling to a different state and living there for 3 months to train dogs during the winter and then came back. And so, it's like, is this worth it? Now we have a family. And so we completely stepped away from training dogs for, I don't know, was it 3 or 4 years besides our own, just because it was like, this isn't fun anymore. But it came back to a point where we miss it. We love it. That is our passion. We want to help people help their dogs and do better. There's different techniques in how to regain or keep that passion. And what is it that you think is working for you guys to hold that, to keep going and not seeing it like this is exactly. Yes.
I mean, I think like she was saying, just loving it, loving what you're doing and being able to do it together. Like Kat was saying, it is really fun to step back and see what your spouse, you know, loves to do and watch them in the field. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when you're hunting, I'll get distracted by watching the dogs and forget if a bird gets up to even put my gun up, because I am loving watching those dogs. So getting to do this stuff with your spouse and grow a business from ground up where you're getting clients from word of mouth. So you're growing word of mouth and you're growing together. And, you know, there's some downfalls, like we're saying, just the organization and learning. Jason and I used to overlap so much of our work because we're both trying to do the same exact thing. So when we could separate stuff out, we got along a lot better. We trained better. Training is so much fun. We will get up before sunrise, so we are in the field at sunrise. And I always like to take one of those easy dogs that know what they're doing. You're just doing repetitive stuff at that point, or just airing them out when that sun's coming up. You're holding coffee and you're walking the field, and, you know, with your spouse, there's just, you have to take those moments to truly enjoy then, and I guess to enjoy all the moments then, even the chaos when you're a week away from a big test and this is a breeding female coming up and you need these testing titles, or just the pressure. You need those little moments of those sunrises with your spouse and watching them really love what they're doing, and vice versa. I just think you can feed off of that.
You gave me goosebumps.
I would agree. You know, I think for us, we owe a lot to dogs. And I think that more than what anyone even ever realizes sometimes, because with our first dog, Ginger, she's the one who lit our fire, right? I mean, she made, just grew this passion for dogs in me and Tate. And, you know, now here it is, you know, years later, and we wouldn't have Gavin if we didn't have her. She made us successful trainers, that made us able to afford IVF in vitro to have our kids. And we would have never been able to do that on Tate's. I mean, I'm sure we could have made it work, right? You would have found a way. But for the fact that dogs gave us that, I mean, we are very grateful for that. And I think we remember that. And I think the big thing is we do take breaks. Like, we take breaks. Like, we're leaving this weekend for Rapid City for a family trip to go out to the rodeo and to do things like that. Like, we try, and dogs are a part of our life. I mean, they're involved in our daily life every single day, you know? And so we just try and find ways to take a time out and remember why we came here. And I mean, now I live on this beautiful acreage and have a beautiful kennel and a son who's thriving and another one on the way. That is because of dogs and the passion that they grew to us. I mean, we wouldn't be where we are today without these dogs. And so I'm just forever grateful. And I try and remember that in the moments where I'm getting a little irritated with all the clients calling and the busyness and Tate not being here and Tate not being there. I just always try and remember, without these dogs and these wonderful clients, we would not be where we are.
I agree with you guys. Jenny, what you were just saying about, like, looking at what the business that all of us have worked our tails off for. I mean, it's not like anything was just handed to us. And looking at what our hard work and drive and determination has gotten us is really a proud moment for us. And definitely something that says your hard work has paid off. And that definitely helps. But also, like I was saying, Ethan and I being able to be the support for the other person. And when he sees me struggling, whether that's with, you know, the weight of all of these emails that I have to get back to, and just going, there's no end in sight. And he just steps in to help me with that. Or when I, you know, step in to say, hey, I'm taking care of puppy stuff now, that's not on you anymore, you know, just being able to help each other, that allows us to have a little more perspective for the other person and understand that we're both doing this for each other, for the business. And then I would say one thing that really rekindles the passion for us every time is those moments of success, those success stories where you take a dog that came in for training, that is gun shy, is bird shy, that their owners never thought could be a hunting dog, and you help that dog become successful and become the best dog that it can be. And then you see the look on those owners' faces when they come and pick up their dog and they're like, what, my dog can do this now? I can take them hunting. Those successes are what rekindles the passion for us. When we get somebody that reaches out to us and says, hey, can you help me figure out how to get my dog to come back to me when I call? And you think of that as like, well, that's a really simple task. I mean, for the most part, right? And then you walk them through the simple task, the simple steps, and they're like, oh my gosh, thank you so much. I never would have thought of that. Those are those moments where you're like, okay, this is why we're doing this. We're helping people, we're helping dogs. And that's why we started. And that's why we continue to do this. And that's, if that ever changes, we don't need to be doing this anymore.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Speaking on that, like, so self-care, and I just read an article yesterday, so this is like so fresh in my mind, about the importance of being a mom in general. And and the importance of self-care. And it's not just a trip to Target to have that hour or two of quiet shopping alone, right? So there's a lot on the plate, and that 1 or 2 hours a week to go to the store by yourself, you still have 1,000 things running in your mind, and you're still always on. You're still always responding to the emails, the phone calls. So is there something that you guys do to really be able to turn it off and just focus on your personal self-care?
Having something to look forward to is ours. We always say we work hard, but we play hard. We plan a vacation every year. It's about the same time every year. And that is when we are going grinding through training season, and you're starting sun up to sundown, and you're trying to get the kids involved. And so you're still doing family and stuff. It is knowing, okay, in 11 months and 9 months and 6 months, we are looking forward to family time. And that's why we work so hard when we do.
Megan would probably agree with me that I'm terrible at self-care. I give my all to everybody but myself. So that's something that in the recent months I've been trying to do better with. I have such a craving to be with my family all the time that I often forget that I need time to myself. For me, lately my serenity has been going to bed at 7 and watching Outlander for an hour by myself. But I also went to church with Megan and her family last Sunday, and I did bring Gavin, and I put him in the daycare. And so for an hour and a half, I got to just listen to a message and sing and kind of let God into my life. And that was all about me. Like, that whole hour and a half was about me. And it was nice. It was super nice.
So I have my one thing that I do for myself, and it's getting my nails done. I am girly. I have to get my nails done. A, they're stronger and they hold up when dogs try and break your fingernails. They're better when they're done. But that actually is, it forces me, because I go get a manicure and a pedicure every 3 to 4 weeks. So it's, once a month, right? And it takes about an hour, maybe an hour and a half. And I get them done at the same time. Well, when you're getting your nails done, you can't have your phone in your hand. So it forces me to set it down and turn it off. So I get to get a foot massage and get, my toes done and my nails done for about an hour and a half every, 3-ish, 4-ish weeks. And I just have to completely let go, even if my phone's barking at me, which my phone ringer is a bark. So literally I'll tell people, my phone barks at me. I just can't do anything about it. And I just, that kind of usually gives me anxiety, actually. So I have to make sure my phone's on silent. Cause if I'm like, oh my gosh, I just missed a phone call while I'm getting my nails done, who could it be? Is, what's blown up at this point, but that's kind of my big thing for myself. And then we as a family, which I still feel is self-care, we try and do something Sunday afternoons, no kennel appointments, which doesn't happen all the time, but we try and do that on a pretty regular basis on Sunday afternoons. When the weather's nicer, we go to the lake or we go to the park. During the winter, there's less opportunities, especially with things closed down due to COVID. But we still try and make some time for just family time where the phones are down. I guess that would be our biggest thing, is just shutting the phones off, turning them off, not looking at them, because that is a big distraction for us. Mm-hmm. Every time a notification chimes through, you're like, oh my gosh, what's it about? So.
Right. I think, and for me, before COVID, cause I work part-time for Purina. But just traveling, just being on that flight to my destination for 5 days and then working, even though we work 12 to 14 hours a day and there's no phone on, but it's constant constant extrovert work, right? So you're always, I'm always talking to somebody. I'm always reaching out. But it's like, I get back to that hotel room at night and I'm like, oh. But this year during COVID, like my outlet was hunting. And that was, whether that is even like, even in the spring during turkey season, I go across and I sit out in my blind and we don't get phone service here. If you walk 50 feet from the house. So, I had nothing. I usually am turkey hunting. I'm on my phone, but I can't do that here. So I'm just sitting out there and it's like, oh my God, it almost was too quiet that it got boring. But I could, when the deer are starting to come up to you, you're like, well, I'm actually doing a really good job here. I'm not scaring anything away. But I think hunting was ultimately my outlet this year, just going out by myself, trying to explore some new lands, a couple new species since we've only been here for the year. But that was huge. And I think that's probably something that we all have in common is the hunting aspect of it, because we really love that bond that we have with our dogs. And I mean, are you guys getting a chance to go out by yourselves, just you and your dogs? This year?
This year? Rough. Yeah, go ahead, Kat.
I was going to say, honestly, I don't typically go out hunting by myself. Like Jenny was saying earlier, you love spending time with your family. Ethan is literally my best friend, and I have more fun when I'm with him and we're hunting than if I would go out by myself hunting, because A, there's somebody to take pictures when I shoot all the birds. And B, just somebody to share that experience within that camaraderie. And like we were talking about before, about just watching the dogs work. Well, it's cool to watch them work and experience that, but then I want to tell somebody about it, and telling and talking to somebody about Muddy making that awesome retrieve or Thunder getting his first backing opportunity with somebody that's been there and saw it themselves. That's for me more fun than just seeing it myself, I guess.
Yeah, this year was the first year since we've moved that I actually drew a tag for deer hunting. And Jason didn't get one. He didn't get a tag. So our plan was to go out and hunt together. And, you know, I was so excited because we could sit on a tree, you know, that's like the only time where we can sit and just phones are off and stuff. We're not busy doing other stuff. So I went out by myself this year, to hunt, and you know, it was really nice. And in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, we're both so busy that we both should be enjoying this. But Jason's got off to go hunting a little bit. But he also guides for, you know, 53 to 62 days in the fall. So a lot of our hunting is late season. So it all depends on weather as well. And the weather has not been that great around here.
Yeah, I mean, I am a person that likes people around me a lot. So no, I am not, I can't say, well, actually, I lie. We did go out to Pier this year, early season for grouse. And I was just starting IVF again, so I couldn't walk the miles that the whole crew was walking. So I just kind of took my dog and went and worked some of these smaller ravines by myself and chased some grouse and chickens around. And that was a lot of fun. But you know, I do a lot of hunting with Tate. And this year I did not get to go as much as I would like. I went on the Pier hunting trip. Tate went to Kansas twice, which usually I go to Kansas with him, but being pregnant and I've been sick, so I don't have a lot of the energy that I had with Gavin. I hunted up until I was probably, I think I was 8 months pregnant and I was out hunting with Gavin. No, 7 months, 7 months pregnant. And I was out with him and it didn't bother me at all. But with this one, I've really struggled to get out, but I love to be out there. I don't know, just something about being out with the dogs. And it really, like, I noticed, like, when I'm getting really crabby and stressed out, that's what I need. I just need a little shotgun therapy. And it really makes me, it makes me kind of a nicer person.
if you could shoot some stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And so I'm assuming, do you guys have pretty close family or support systems that watch the kids for you guys so that you can go do things together?
We have to phone a friend. Grandma's are all, you know, a couple hours away, so we really have to schedule. Jason's excited for both of our kids to be in school someday so we can go out pheasant hunting at the same time while they're at school. But told him, I said, quit rushing it. They'll be there soon enough. My baby boy can't go yet.
Yeah. We took Gavin with us a couple of times. Tate doesn't mind carrying him in the pack. And that went good. I mean, I did like it. I loved having him out there with us, but we often will just kind of, sometimes we'll just split up, you know, like I'll go out with a few of my girlfriends and, or he'll go out with the guys, or we'll have some parents come up and watch him sometimes, but it's hard when you live out in Timbuktu, as I'm sure you know as well, to get babysitters.
Yeah. And it's something I almost feel like I took advantage of before, because when we lived in Wisconsin, my family was there, his family was there, and we just got to hunt together. We got to do stuff together because they were always so anxious to take the kids. And now here, you know, we have to go out by ourselves. We have to share duties at home, and so the other one could go do something. Or when Burke is in school, we put Blair in the backpack and then we can go together. But it's been a new struggle for sure to have to figure out how to continue to do what we love and what we're passionate about and fit the kids into that routine. But I, you know, I look at couples because we're different. Like the four of us, we all love to hunt. We love the dogs. And it was kind of a wake up call when a good friend of ours, like the wife doesn't like the dogs, doesn't like the hunt. And that all changed once kids came into the picture, because she did before. She liked the dogs before, but the kids came in and it's like turned into a, it's not fair that I have to be home and watch the kids while you go hunt. So I think it's so awesome that you guys all have that passion, but you're also allowing your spouse to do what they want to do and not take that from them. You know, whether it's dogs, right? Or whether it's collecting trains. I just think it's important to recognize and allow your partner to do what they love to do. And
I will not
forbid them from doing it.
I will say, I get a little jealous of Tate getting, he's gotten to go a lot more than I have this year. So I have maybe been not so nice wife with it. Just because I want to go. You know,
because
I want to go too. Damn it. You're getting to go. And he's always like, but he's always like, well, then go, just go. And I'm like, well, dear, I punch a time clock, you see. So sometimes that's a little rough for me to get to go. But he's always like, well, just go, just go. But I'm like, I struggle with, and Megan knows this, I struggle with the putting everything aside so I can go do something. So yeah, I gave him I maybe guilted him a little bit this year.
But we are lucky enough that my mom is close, like 20 minutes away. So she has been super grandma and helps out with Aiden a bunch if we have hunting trips or anything like that. We did take Aiden with us to Montana and carried him around in the backpack when we went hunting out there. And it was fun, but it's not the same hunting that I'm used to, you know, where you're chasing after the dogs and it's go, 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 and you're working this field and you're doing, you know, this and that and the other thing. It's okay. By the time, because we're not big breakfast people, but by the time Aiden gets breakfast, and then by the time we go to the bathroom, then we air the dogs out, then we drive to the field, then we get him loaded up in his pack on the back, and then he has to go potty. So then you unload him out of the pack to go potty. And then it's like, okay, back in the pack. Okay, get to the field. Oh, now we're halfway through the field. Stop and do another potty break. It was definitely like hunting was one field a day type of thing when you have a toddler.
Patience.
For sure. But it was definitely fun. And, you know, I love being with Ethan when we go hunting, but definitely there's certain things. Like, he went deer hunting this year. I was like, meh, I'm okay not going deer hunting this year. So he would go sit in the stand. He wants to go elk hunting like so, so bad. So I think he's got a trip planned in 2022, I don't know, sometime in the future with a buddy of his, and I'm not going to be going with on that. Would I love to? Absolutely. And we went to Alaska fishing this last year, and it was phenomenal. Like, I love fish, and it was awesome to be out on the ocean, and the scenery is beautiful. And we have a good friend that went with us, and he was talking about going this year again in like June, July. And I'm like, literally, I will have a 1 or 2 month old at that point. And Ethan's like, well, you can just stay home. And I'm like, sir, if you go to Alaska without me, you might come home to divorce papers. So there are things that I'm okay with being left out of, and I'm fine letting him do his thing. But there are also things that I'm like, no, 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 no. If you're doing that, I'm doing that. So,
amen. Yeah. Amen, Kat.
I think it's just a good compromise. You know, you got to find something that you like to do, but not hinder them on what they like to do. And, you know, Courtney, you were saying that about your friend's wife. It is more common than not, I'm finding out, because I will get all the time, you're letting them go hunting again? Don't you want to be home? Shouldn't you be helping with the kids? Jason is a phenomenal father, and he will, when he's home, my gosh, he probably cleans more than I do. So, you know, if he wants to go out and he wants to go hunting, Jason, I don't have to worry about him prioritizing hunting above his family. So if he asks to go hunting or throws it out there that he would, it's have at it, go, because he doesn't ask, in my opinion, he doesn't ask enough to do something for himself. So if he actually does ask, it's like, please go, please, please go.
So when you guys have added the kids to the mix of your training, because you were all training dogs before the kids came into the picture, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, what kind of things have changed? Because you have the kids out there now that you're trying to keep content and happy. And what are you guys doing? Have your training techniques changed at all?
Snacks. And letting them come with. Like my favorite is training for duck search, because that is the one thing. Can throw them in the kayak. They love throwing pebbles or watching the little tadpoles in the water, and you're planting ducks. And it is so much fun. That is my favorite training thing to do. But I think it's just being well prepared, knowing that they may get bored and having that tablet along. You know, they play so much outside. So honestly, if they want their tablet, it's like, here's your tablet. Because sometimes we're out there for, you know, 4 to 8 hours. And I don't expect a 6-year-old or a 2-year-old to be able to handle that length of time. So we just prepare. I mean, we over prepare. We extra food, extra clothes. Because, you know, they're going to fall in the lake or sit in the mud. And heaven forbids our pants are wet. So it's just being prepared.
I think that the dogs have learned to deal with some better distractions at our kennel, for sure. Gavin loves to be a part of the training, and it makes me laugh because he like yells at the dogs like whoa and out and heel. You know, he mimics Tate constantly, or myself. And so I think that, you know, we definitely know when it's an appropriate time for him to be there. And when it's not an appropriate time, you know, because when you're force fetching dogs, let's all be honest, things are a little, you don't know how things are going to go all the time with that. But like basic obedience dogs and stuff, we encourage him to come out and be by the dogs. We let him walk the dogs around. I think it just makes for a better rounded dog altogether. I mean, he comes on duck searches with us. He's not sitting there quiet, you know, like, that's just not going to happen. So it makes for better distractions, I feel like. And I don't know, I love seeing him out there doing it, because he has a passion for the dogs too already, and he's not even 3.
We definitely do a mix. You know, Aiden loves the dogs and he loves to be involved with training and does all of the like mimicking, like the whoaing of the dogs, and he wants us to shoot all the time. He has a little, you know, earmuffs on, and shoot more. And it's like, well, we only had to shoot that one time, buddy. I'm sorry. But he loves shooting. I hope that he wants to get involved with like a high school shooting clays team or something when he gets a little bit older. But then we also utilize daycare. I mean, we've gotten to the point where I'm like, there's no way that we can get it all done, because you go at like, I wouldn't even say at half speed when you have a toddler. It's like maybe a third speed when you have a toddler. So we would definitely not be as efficient if he was there constantly, but he is involved. He loves when we go out to the kennel and there's obedience dogs and he'll go sit on the dog beds with them. So it definitely adds a level of distraction for some of those training dogs, which is a good thing. That they can work through those different distractions. But finding the right situation, the right training opportunities for him to be involved in, and then also knowing and recognizing that this is not a day for us to try and get anything done with a baby around. So picking and choosing those battles and those training situations is important.
Right. I remember this past summer, I was taking a video of a steadiness by blind sequence for an owner because the dog was doing so good. And my kids were in two chairs, right, like camping chairs kind of near there. And they got into this argument and then they ended up pushing each other over and one started screaming and the other one was yelling as I'm like taping this and the dog is just sitting there doing amazing and just steadying. And I was like, this dog's going to do really well in his utility test.
Yep. This is real life right here.
Right. Or when like Burke, when he was younger, he used to just let, you know, you gather up all the pigeons, right? You'd have all the pigeons in the bird boxes, take them out to the fields, and then you'd be off a little ways and come back and Burke has released all the pigeons for you. Do you guys have any good stories of some of the best ways that the kids have been not so helpful in your training excursions?
For sure. Aiden loves opening the gates to the fenced in areas. So to the point where we have to have them a clip on them.
Latch.
So that he cannot do that. Cause he, luckily the first time we realized that he could do this was with all of our personal dogs running around in the backyard. So personal dogs all escape the backyard, which they are going to come back and I'm not worried about it. But then knowing he can also do the same latches that we have over at the kennel, because they're the same, makes us aware so that we can be prepared to have them clipped when he's out there so that he's not letting dogs run willy-nilly around the countryside, because that would probably not be a good thing.
Our most recent one, it wasn't so much training, but, you know, like three of our girls came into season at once. And I have Milo, my stud dog, you know, and so he stays in the house when that's happening. And then the girls are out in the garage and we have our backyard is fenced in, but you can open up the patio door and then everyone can mingle. Well, you know, Tate calls me one morning at work and he's like, well, we had a near miss this morning. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, Gavin got out of bed. I heard him tramps down the hallway fast as he could and open up the patio door and let Milo out. And Blondie was out there, Bridget's girl. That was not the plan. And Tate split him up before anything could happen. But Tate goes, buddy, you can't let Milo out. He just had to go pie, Daddy. He just had to go pie. You know, so he knows how to let all these dogs out, open up doors, lock doors. And so he wants to constantly be helpful. But we're like, oh, boy. So now we've gotten smart and made sure that the patio door has been locked and secured when all these girls are in heat.
Mine's more of the live animals. Melody is constantly trying to bring something into my house. It could be she's going to heal all animals. So if we clip a bird and it flies back into the yard, she'll find it. She's going to nurse that baby back to health. So that means she's going in the house and bringing the bird in with her and getting gauze and patching this bird up. And you know, we always make a joke like, well, I guess if you nurse it back to health, we can throw it back in the pen and use it again. But it is usually finding some type of animal in my house that she's treating.
The goats.
Yeah, that's not a funny story, though.
Oh, I laughed really hard about it.
You should tell it.
Uh-huh. It's funny.
Quick version, Melody went missing when I was mowing the lawn and Jason was doing something in the kennel. Because every round I could see her. Well, I went around, I couldn't see her. Jason, so I text Jason real quick. He's like, no, she's not in here. So I stop, and this is before Stetson. And we're looking all over, and Jason said all I did was circles because I'm panicking. I'm thinking, you know, I'm a 90s baby. Every kid fell in the well, I swear. You had so many of those stories about kids falling in wells. And our property has three wells. So I'm just thinking the worst. And I looked in the house to start with. I couldn't find her. And I just thought, I'm like, oh, I'm going to look in the house again. I walk in there and I don't see her, but I see in my sunroom a goat going across. And I come in there and I still don't see her. And I see this goat is eating my wicker basket. And all of a sudden she pops up. Hi, Mom. I could have killed her. But that's what I'm saying. The animals are always in the house. It's like, I didn't grow up with a lot of pets in my home. I had to sneak my own pets in. So now it's like karma.
I love it. And didn't you guys like recently kind of build your livestock? Do you have more animals now?
We have a full-on funny farm around here.
Yeah. Okay.
Little of everything.
You got some sheep, right?
No sheep. We have goats. Yeah. Okay. Goats. And we just supply all the local petting zoo animals around here. People bring their kids out, you know, socialize them around, you know, pigs. And we actually just got rid of our pig though. So they were wrecking the fences a little much. So we have chickens and pigs and goats and all of it.
Were any of you raised as hunters? Like, did you start hunting 12 years old? Did you have bird dogs that young?
Ours was very much a boys hunt. We go to town and shop. As I got a little older, I got to go and sit on like the fence line and let, you know, the people that were waiting for deer and stuff know if one came across. We road hunted pheasants a little bit, but I didn't get started into hunting until I wanted a hobby with Jason. So I joined in the hunting end of it.
I was raised in a big deer hunting family. So that was really big. And my mom hunted with my dad as well. And then my dad would go pheasant hunting. But I mean, I did kind of like what Megan would do. I mean, the girls would go shopping and the guys would go hunting. But then I kind of grew a little bit more of a passion for it when I got a little older and I'd walk with my dad. And we always had labs. We had coon hounds. But my big passion grew with Tate when we got Ginger. You know, then we both, I mean, Tate hunted, but he didn't know, you know, we kind of learned together. Obviously he had a lot better knowledge than I did, but when we got Ginger, we both kind of started getting more and more involved in the hunting.
So I've been hunting since I was probably 10, 11 years old with my dad, pheasant hunting, deer hunting, a little bit of duck hunting, but I didn't have waders and we were duck hunting in North Dakota and I would become completely frozen into an icicle. So duck hunting was not my go-to favorite when I was that young. So I had always been hunting. We just didn't have dogs that we hunted behind. And then Ethan, when we got married, we decided we needed a dog. So we figured out we wanted to get a short hair. Found one in the paper, perfect place to do that, and got our first crazy, wild, out of control German Shorthair Pointer, and then learned a lot about dogs and dog training from that point on. But the whole point was to get a dog that we could hunt behind together, and so that was kind of our start to the dogs and the dog training and hunting journey was getting that first short hair that was out of control.
So do you feel, excuse me, raising our kids in this lifestyle around the dogs, around the hunting, do you feel that they're going to take that for granted of how special that really is? Or do you think that is going to be something that continues to live on with them? Or, I mean, clearly we can't steer them and, you know, tell them as much as we want them to, like, maybe take on the business one day, right? Or be our future hunting buddy. What are kind of your impressions or feelings on that?
Well, with the way the world is going right now, I think it's going to be a really strong outlet for kids. I think it's going to become where you're almost lucky if you grew up hunting, or lucky if you know somebody who can hunt and gives you a place to be able to hunt.
I think a lot of places are going to start to become paid to hunt places, where if our kids or our grandkids, they're going to have to pay to get to enjoy what we get to enjoy as of right now for a license fee. And that's about it. Melody already tells us that she's going to put us in a nursing home and then she'll take over our business and stuff. So, I mean, I think she'll be fine. I think she'll take over something, or at least take away something that she enjoys from it.
Yeah, I think Megan's right. The kind of the way the world is steering right now. I think it is going to be an outlet. You know, I look at my nephew who is 12, going to be 13 in July, and he is a huge hunter. I mean, he's a huge hunter. He goes duck hunting. He shot multiple deer. He kills pheasants and he loves it. And him and his dad, my sister-in-law, she's actually getting more involved with it. She's never going to hunt, but she'll walk along, you know, and it's something that they're enjoying as a family. And so I feel like, I don't know, I think Gavin's going to find the joy in it. I mean, he reminds me a lot of me, I guess. And I'm very, very passionate. And so I think he's going to really get to enjoy hunting for what it is and have a huge respect for the outdoors and God's creations. And I mean, at least I hope he does, right? I mean, that's the hope for all of us, right? That our kids can enjoy some of the things that we find so wonderful in life.
Yeah, Aiden already seems to love the dogs, loves watching them train, loves shooting the guns. And so the hope is for him to continue that. Obviously, we can't push him, we can't force him, but just being literally immersed in the lifestyle, there's he's going to have other opportunities if he wants them, but definitely this is going to be something that he sees on the daily, and he'll either love it or he'll go, oh my gosh, I need to get away from it, you know, when he gets older. And either way, though, I think, like Jenny was saying, that I would love for him to take away a respect and appreciation for animals and nature and conservation of game, and the understanding that we do have a privilege to be able to hunt, and also a responsibility to be ethical hunters and, you know, take care of the land, and just learning those things, whether he goes on to be, you know, a dog trainer or a hunter in the future, or just a well-rounded human being that's a good part of society, that would probably make us all happy to know that our kids are going in that direction. And definitely he's going to get the opportunity to go hunting with us and train dogs with us and raise puppies with us. And if he learns to love it as much as we do, then, you know, we would be happy if he wanted to become involved with our business. If he decides that's not for him, I'm happy for him as well.
I feel like all of our kids are going to be very responsible adults because they've had these duties. They've seen us work really hard and put a lot into these dogs to be able to enjoy that hunting season ultimately, right? And or having those great successes at a test or as a breeder. And I just always worry, are they going to take that for granted? And like, I remember Burke had a punishment one time, and he had to pick up dog poop. William had to pick up dog poop. I'm like, oh, don't make him do that, because I don't want him to, you know, think like this is a punishment. They have to pick up poop. He needs to go out there and be like, this is a duty. This is a responsibility for my dogs. Do you guys ever kind of catch yourselves being like, oh, I don't want him to have a bad impression of this? Like you had mentioned earlier with like the force fetch process of.
Yeah. You know, and you're so right. Like, because let's face it, my dogs can be naughty and they steal Gavin's crap and they eat his freaking snacks and it ticks him off. Right. So, you know, I have like a stern voice and I don't have a problem with give him a little swat on the nose, you know, cause sometimes, I mean, my female that's pregnant right now, Prairie, is terrible. Like she wants to eat everything in sight and she doesn't care how she has to get it. So I have to give her a swat on the nose to get her to leave his food alone. Well, who's sitting there watching me give that swat, but my little mini me, and boom, he'll go up and he'll swat the puppy. And I'm like, you can't, I'm like, Gavin, you can't hit the puppies. But you know, it's so hard. But yeah, I mean, they do. He learns everything from what we're doing, you know, and so
yeah, it like sponges. It just,
they are. And so you just have to remember, I guess, that yeah,
you're always being watched.
You are always being watched. And so there's certain things in the training world that are not fun, you know, and force fetch is one of them. You guys all have to agree with me. Force fetch, I mean, it's great when it's done. You love it. It's very satisfying when the dog is finally finished, but you have those moments in force fetch that are really hard. And I don't want him to, I mean, when he's older and he can understand to why we do the things that we do, but at this age, I want to make sure that he sees just, I don't know. I want him to be able to see the enjoyment of everything. And I just always have to remember that he's there watching everything I do. Everything.
I think it's a good opportunity. Like Jenny's seen, they do watch everything. We were out hunting, and of course you can't go hunting without picking someone's trash up. If you're one of those that, oh, here's a Mountain Dew can, or here's this. I do it every time I'm out, you know, I'll pick up someone's shells, especially if we're on public ground. So I'll pick it up, and I did it without even thinking about it. And sure enough, you know, Melody, now I'll catch her picking up trash, you know, cause then she asks the question and you go into the conversation about keeping it clean and animals, and, you know, we want to treat the animals with respect and stuff. And now that's one of the benefits of, if you're doing the right thing, which hopefully sometimes you get something right in parenting. So it is nice to see. It's like, oh, okay, well that at least was a plus. And then, you know, you drop the, you know, some word you shouldn't use or something, then they're also repeating that. So it balances out.
Oh yeah. Aiden the other day on the deck while we were grilling, we've been having decently nice weather, so we had that lucky opportunity. And so Ethan's out there putting something on the grill. Aiden's running around the patio furniture yelling, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. About what? We don't know, but obviously mom and dad have been saying that a little too much. So we're like, Aiden, you can't say that. We'll say, holy cow, holy cow. So then he's like, holy cow, around the table. But it's like, you catch yourselves, because they do. They're little sponges. They mimic everything. And they watch us. They are so observant. And you don't even know what they're watching sometimes. And they pick up little things. So yeah, having them be that attentive makes us rethink how we behave in front of them sometimes.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
Even though Burke's spying in on me right now, are you getting ready to go to bed? Okay. Okay. I love you, honey. So after he witnessed his first dog breeding, this is kind of a funny story. He witnessed his first dog breeding, and then he came out from his playroom a couple hours later with Play-Doh at shape. Oh, buddy, what's that? It was red Play-Doh. He goes, this is Merritt's penis. Oh, it sure is.
And it sure is. Right?
Yeah. So, like, because it was an AI collection, so you know the parts were hanging out afterwards.
Oh yeah.
So, like that, lots of wake up calls having little ones.
Oh, I just feel like our kids are just gonna have a great understanding of the birds and the bees at a young age. That's all.
They will. We already had the discussion a couple weeks ago about the proper use of the word bitches. So. Like, you can use it at love school, it. But don't call your classmates bitches. So what about, I mean, there's a lot of people that are hesitating to kind of start that family, to have the kids, because they're doing all the things. They're, you know, they're maybe young in the business, really into the dogs, testing, hunting. What do you feel is your best piece of advice for all of it? And maybe, you know, I mean, Jenny and Kat, you guys have your second one coming. So are you going to be preparing any differently than you did with the first?
I think the best piece of advice that I can give somebody that wants to start a family and have dogs, because Me and Tate will be married 13 years in this September. And we started our family, obviously, you know, later in life. And Megan's got to watch that whole roller coaster with us as she's known us through all this. But don't let anything stand in your way of having a family. I don't care how successful you want to be. It will all happen. You just have to believe it. You have to have the passion for it. But having a family, like, I thought I knew joy. I so thought I knew joy when I got that, you know, VC Breeders Award and stuff like that, which all of that is fantastic. But I didn't know joy and love until my little boy came into this world. And he makes everything that we do even better. He's the cherry on top of everything.
Well, Kat, I don't know if you remember it. We were down in Kansas picking up Chucker or something from you guys. I remember I had recently had Melody. She took the road trip with us. I think she was one, maybe, our very first baby, obviously. And I remember sitting in your living room. I remember, here's this pretty dog trainer, like, just had her crap together. And I remember her words coming out of her mouth. I am never going to be a mom. I don't want kids. It isn't going to happen. And I remember sitting there going, like, in my brain, it's like, you have no idea what you're going to miss out on. The like Jenny says, the true joy of doing the business, because you're doing it for someone. The true joys of holidays or watching, like she was saying, the dog succeed. Well, seeing your child succeed in your world. It broke my heart when you said it. I remember thinking, we'll give it time. So when she told me she was pregnant with Aiden, I couldn't have been happier. I'm like, yes, you know, I was so excited to hear that they were going to add a little man to their family. Cause I knew the second he would get here, it would be, all right, when's the next one coming? Cause they do, they make it all worth it. It's why you get up in the morning. I mean, you're all moms. I know you think the same. It's why you get up in the morning. It's the last thing on your brain when you go to sleep. And then to be able to involve them in what you love to do and it be such a rewarding thing. There isn't anything better than that.
Definitely. So that would have been a long time ago.
It was.
Megan, back when we lived in Norton, Kansas, actually. Yep. So we've moved since then. We lived in Norton for about 5 years and then we're living in Pretty Prairie, still in Kansas now, and we've been here for about 4 years. Jenny and I have actually a similar story gap, whatever, if you want to call it, because we'll be married for 13 years in August. So definitely started the kids thing later in life. We'd been married for over 10 years before we had decided to try and have Aiden. And then he came along and now number two. And I will say back when we were in Norton, Megan, and I had that conversation with you, I could not imagine adding a child at that point. I know everyone always says, well, if you wait until you're truly ready, you'll never have kids. But I also think that there's a grain of truth or a portion of that, that you do have to be in the right place in your life to truly be able to enjoy all of it. Because Ethan and I, we talk about it all the time. Well, what if we had had kids when we were back living in Norton, where we were literally 6 a.m. to 10 p.m., 24/7. We didn't have family close. My family was in North Dakota. Ethan's family's on the other side of the state. So like any type of support system, we didn't have regular employees. And I was like, what would we have done? And he said, well, we wouldn't be training dogs anymore. We wouldn't be running a kennel because something would have had to give and it wouldn't have been our family and it wouldn't have been our, you know, our son. So it would have been the business would have had to change and we probably wouldn't be doing what we're doing now. So there is finding the right situation and making sure that you are ready and have some plans in place and some strategies to help, you know, with some of the stress, because kids are going to add a level of stress. I mean, dogs add stress, kids add stress. They also add an immeasurable amount of happiness and joy, but it has to balance. So we wouldn't have been ready in Norton, but we were definitely ready when we were here. And I couldn't agree more. Like they, when baby number two comes, are the reason for everything. Like once you hold them in your arms for the first time, you can't explain it to somebody that doesn't have children. We have a couple friends that just are having their first babies, and they're like, I don't know if I'm going to be a good mom. You know, I wasn't sure if I wanted to have kids. Same story that I had. And I'm like, as soon as you hold that little baby in your arms, your whole world is going to change. Your heart is going to fill up with so much love that it's going to feel like it's going to burst out of your chest.
Oh, so and, true.
Yeah. And that is the reason that figure out your timing and figure out your game plan, even though life and things never go according to plan. And then just enjoy the ride. I mean, it's going to be fun. It's going to be stressful. There's going to be the ups, there's going to be the downs, but all in all, it's going to be worth it when you make that decision.
And you don't love your dogs any less than you did before the kids, because
no.
You know, they're, you know, some people refer to dogs as the fur baby, right? But I mean, it's a different mentality. But people worry, like, I love this dog so much. Yeah, but when you have the kids, it's different.
You get to see different. Them love the dogs. I think that's what's really cool about it. Like, I, you know, I think I was, I don't think I was ever nervous about how my dogs would react to Gavin, because they're all, you know, pretty solid heads on their shoulders. But like, to see like what the one that was, I think, the most unexpected is this little rat dog that is going to be 14 in April. And, you know, so she was what, almost 11 when he came into the world, and she attached herself to him like nothing I've ever seen. And like, it's just, I don't know, like Milo, when he's sick or I'm sick, or like, I mean, he's glued to me, he's glued to Gavin. Winnie is a terror. She's so naughty to him. Oh my God. It's like, he already has a big sister because she picks on him terribly, you know? And then now he has his own puppy. He called it's Roo. He's like, my Roo Roo. I get my Roo Roo. He knows how to go out to the garage and bring her in, you know? So it's cool. It's cool how you intermingle your life, and you just, it all just kind of meshes and flows.
And if your heart has that much capacity for love for your animals, which they were our fur babies, they still are our fur babies. I'm a dog mom. I'm also a a boy mom. But if your heart has that much capacity for love for those animals, it's going to have that much capacity and more for the love for your children.
You know, what's fun too to watch is, I remember, Jenny, you specifically expressing yourself that you said, I'm afraid that I'm going to love my dogs less when my baby gets here. And I just told her it's, you love them differently. It's just as much, it's just differently. Cause it's fun to, like she was saying, include your kid in that same love that you feel for your dog. Or, you know, like Kat was saying, you're not always going to be ready, but put yourself in a position and just know you're going to invite some chaos in your life. It's going to be busy, but it's fun to work. I mean, it was fun watching like these two build their businesses. I knew them from, you know, pretty early on, and watch them just explode in their businesses. And it's really fun to now watch them add kids to it. And want everyone to be successful with their kids also being involved. It's awesome. I love both the girls. They post photos all the time with their kids, with the dogs. And it's fun to see people try and include them.
Yeah. Is there anything else you guys wanted to add to the conversation before we sign off?
I want to say thank you, Courtney, for having us. I mean, this was a lot of fun. You three women are, I think we're all a lot alike with some differences that makes us mesh really well. And I want to wish everyone a really successful training season this year again. And let's continue to grow our businesses and kick butt, you know. And Kat, I can't wait to see that little boy and watch Aiden be a big brother. And I love watching Megan's kids grow, and Miss Melody impresses me every day. And your kids too, Courtney, they're wonderful kids. You guys are all doing a great job of balancing this crazy world that we live in.
Yeah, thanks, Jenny. I couldn't have said it better.
Yep. Perfect. Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks for the opportunity. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. No,
This has been really fun. Like, I don't get enough girls nights like this where we can talk about things that we're passionate about and have fun. Like, I don't know how long we've even been talking, but it seems like we could talk for hours more because we do have so much in common, and we can still learn so much from each other. I mean, Megan has, you know, older children, so more experience when it comes to what life is going to be like when school starts. And Jenny and I have a lot in common with, you know, how long we've been married before the kids joined the crew, and then basically having two little boys the same age, and the next little babies are going to be about the
dang
same
near
age
the same
too.
Age.
I know. And then Courtney, I mean, you have so much experience when it comes to not only being a great mom, but all of your dog stuff, and you have a different perspective than we do, or at least I do, because you also have the show side of things, which we didn't really even talk about. But we don't have any background or experience with that. And so when I see you posting stuff on social media, I'm like, that is so cool that she can do both with her dogs. And I absolutely love your guys' new Bronco Italianos. I'm you get to experience that too, two breeds that are so wonderful. And I think that we can continue to learn from each other, and keeping open communication like this with each other is a good thing too.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree. And that's why I wanted to have you all on specifically for this. I think you're amazing women, not only for what you're doing with the business, your breeding programs are top notch, and the being a mom in it all. And a wife, there's so many duties there. And I know the challenges, I know the rewards, and it's amazing. And I really look up to you all to be able to do it all. So you guys are awesome. And I'm so excited for the new babies. So excited. So yeah, post lots of pictures and keep in touch. Are you guys going to the Invitational this year?
Not with this two year kids
for us. Twins with two kids.
We're bringing a camper, and we're gonna camp. So awesome. Yeah, I think Tate's got 5 dogs that he's running.
Wow. Holy you cow. Guys are gonna be awesome. Busy.
Yeah, congratulations. That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's gonna be a busy year.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm excited to hear the guys' version of this.
Me too. Okay, me too. They better talk real nice about us.
Tate's like, what question? What questions are they getting? I'm like, I'm not telling you. Why can't I know? I'm like, because Courtney said you can't know, so I'm not going to tell you.
Well, I think they're all drinking during theirs, so it should be real entertaining.
I'm sure.
Next time, let's do a Zoom get together where we all can actually drink.
Right. Sometime after May.
Yep.
Or June. When is June? Yeah.
June 11th.
Unless you come early, you know.
Come early.
That could happen.
Have you breastfed the first ones?
I did. Yeah.
Did you, Megan too?
Oh yeah. Both of them.
Oh yeah. 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 She's like a freaking Mary milkmaid over there.
Super producer.
So is Kat.
No, so I'm not. Kat.
Are you still?
You struggled, didn't you, Kat? Didn't one work better than the other?
No, that's me. My right side. I didn't make it past 7 months because I couldn't produce enough for Aiden. He was like in the 13th percentile for weight gain. So yeah, had to.
I thought you had more milk. I don't know why I thought you had more milk than that.
I tried, man. I was like a pumping fool and trying to up my milk production, but definitely.
Okay,
but
anyone says 7 months of that is still a feat in itself. So
Oh my gosh. Absolutely. I did. Yeah. I did a year with both of them. Although I got to tell you, to be fair. So Blair was born December 13th and I went to Westminster February 10th. So that would have been 2 months that I left and I pumped. So I breastfed and I pumped a lot before I left, but I was gone for a week. So when I came back from Westminster, she had that like nipple confusion because she had been on a bottle for an entire week and she wouldn't come back to my breast. So I pumped solely, even though I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried and I tried. But let me tell you about pumping in the bathroom at Westminster Dog Show too. So that was really cool.
I pumped in the bathroom at Pheasant Fest too. I mean, it's right. Not the best.
Right along with you with our school.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I mean, and then dumping it down the sink, you're like, oh, there goes my liquid gold. Isn't it the worst?
Oh no, I kept it in a cooler in a refrigerator. That stuff was, I mean, that's a labor of love. It is liquid gold. There is crying over spilt milk, and there is no wasting that.
It was very sad.
I was struggling to pump, or Stetson was with. I was struggling to nurse there, and I was talking to Kat, and she goes, I just had him bring me over a chair, and I'm like, oh, I should have done that. So I grabbed my chair. We were both in opposite bathrooms, I'm sure, pumping around. Maybe people are probably thinking, what is going on?
I did a lot of pumping on the interstate on my way home from work.
I got pulled over by a cop while I was pumping and driving. It was like I felt like I was drinking and driving because I was like detached and I threw it like on the floor on the passenger side.
I would have left it on.
Funny.
And then there was, you know, right? Leakage. So was so awful. I still got a ticket. But I think he found out what was going on.
I would have left him attached. I would have weirded him out enough that he would have just like turned around and left. He'd been not touching this.
Nipples were, you know, come on, leave the noise on.
But I felt like is this distracted driving though? Would I have gotten a ticket for distracted?
They can't come.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Well, girl, I'm gonna sign off because my old pregnant ass is tired.
Why don't you guys tell everybody how we can find you on Instagram?
I think it's Martinson's Kennel on Insta and Martinson's Red Point Kennel on Facebook.
Okay.
We are for Instagram, we're at MarsOffX Kennels, and then for Twitter, we're MarsOffX Kennels. And Facebook, we are. Give me just a second. I want to make sure it's MarsOffX Kennel as well.
I'm pretty sure we're just Standing Stone Kennels on Instagram and Facebook. Standing Stone Kennels on our YouTube channel, and then standingstonekennels.com for our website.
Awesome. Perfect. And I can vouch for all of them if people are looking for breeder, reputable breeder, responsible dog trainers. Check out all the different kennels that these people are doing, because you know if they can balance their life amazingly like they do, that they are going to be producing and training some damn well awesome dogs. So thank you, ladies, so much. You're all amazing, and I hope that we can do something like this again in the future.
Thanks, definitely. Courtney.
Thanks, Courtney.
Have a great night.
You too.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Bird Dog Babe Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it and tag someone that would benefit from listening. And to help others find this podcast, please give it a rating and review on whichever platform you're listening from. And be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.
Until next time, Bird Dog Babes, keep them versatile.